Today I want to attempt to go over with you some of the Rosh HaTzokim of this sefer called The Making of a Halachic Decision. Some very interesting concepts. Let's start with the very beginning. The very beginning, where does Torah come from? Torah Shebichsav, Moshe Mitzrayim. When was the Torah Sheb, Mikar Hadin, Torah Sheb Al Peh is not allowed to be put in writing. We all know that. There's Torah Shebichsav, Torah Sheb Al Peh. Torah Shebichsav is writing, Torah Sheb Al Peh is Al Peh. It was given over from one generation to the next generation. There came a point in time when the Skatnu Hadoros, they became weak. It was impossible to retain, to transmit the oral Torah from generation to generation. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi came along and he codified the entire Torah Sheb Al Peh into the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Okay, there's a lot to be discussed and understood exactly what he did, where he took his source material from. It wasn't purely original. It was compiled from other works that preceded him, different collections of statements that were memorized by the Talmidim, and he was very selective, but he was definitely very unique in how he was able to organize the entire Torah Sheb Al Peh into the Shisha Sidarim. We have a competition. We have the Braisos. We have a Mishnah, then we have a Braisa. Braisa means Bara, the outside. Things that were like the Apocrypha. The Torah Sheb Al Peh, the Apocrypha of the Torah Sheb Al Peh. Things that were not included in the actual order of Mishnah. So that's a separate discussion of itself, but basically it's been accepted that Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, he was successful in taking all the Torah Sheb Al Peh and arranging into the Shisha Sidur. Problem is, that was also a bit too difficult to use as Rosh HaPerakim to encompass the entire Torah. And along came Ravina and Rav Ashi and many others, and they put together the Talmud Bavli. And in Yerushalayim, at the same time, was put together by Rabbi Yochanan, the Talmud Yerushalmi. And as we all know, everyone here knows that the Talmud Bavli is basically an elaboration upon the Mishnah. It takes the Mishnais and analyzes the statements. It takes note of contradictions between different statements of the Mishnah elsewhere in Braisos, and in the process brings out the depth behind the words of the Mishnah, and plus there's supplement material that's always in the Talmud that's not necessarily traced to the words of the Mishnah. Okay, Talmud about. When was that completed? That was completed approximately in the year 500. Approximately in the year 500. It was a very long process. Very long process. Or a very lot of refinement. So we have over here Mishnayis, the Torah Sheb Al Peh, Mishnayis, Talmud, and then things got a little complicated. Then came halacha lemaisa. How do we decide a halachic decision? So, who came along? We're jumping ahead many, many years. Who came along? Came along the Rif. The Rif came along, everyone knows the Rif, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, he came along and he wrote what we call the Rif, which basically is a shortened version of the Talmud. You go in the back of the Gemara, it looks like a Gemara, but basically it's just the Gemara's maskaras. It cuts out a major chunk of the give and take, the Shach V'Tayyeh, and presents the conclusions, but also sometimes he puts in a few words of his own, he sneaks in a few little things here and there. His goal is to come out, what's the bottom line? What is the year of the Rif? Was the year 1010.
Rashi.
So that, yeah, that's all right. Rashi, no. Rashi was,
ten thirty-five.
So that, so this was okay. Fine. Okay.
Right before Rashi,
wasn't 10:40?
Okay, right. During Rashi's time, right. So this is the year 1010 to the year 1100. Okay, right. Okay. So this is like right during the Crusade, during Rashi's time. Correct. So this was the Rif. His goal was to come out. What is the? We're talking halacha, halachic decision. You learn Talmud, you don't necessarily learn halacha. You learn about a concept. You learn about a svara back, but what's the bottom line? What is the bottom line? There were no Mishnah Berurah in those days. There was no art scroll in those days. What is the bottom line? So the Rif says, look, the bottom line is, it all comes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Talmud. and the Talmud has a discussion, and there are two opinions, there are three opinions. The Rif came along and said, after everything is said and done, this is the bottom line. What was so unique about the Rif, and this is a very important thing to take away from this, the whole thing is, he didn't write, like the next one in this process, the Rambam. He didn't just say, this is the halacha. What do you do on Shabbos? This is what you're supposed to... He didn't do that. He went to the actual source material. It says in the Mishnah this. The Gemara has a question, but it says in another Mishnah this. There's an answer. This is the answer. And because of this answer, we can say the following concept, and this is the halacha. He shortened the Gemara. He starts with the Mishnah, the Gemara, and comes to the conclusion, cuts out all of the give and take in between, and whenever the Gemara is not clear who we follow, he tells you who we follow. Then came along the Rambam. And the Rambam didn't go for this. The Rambam didn't like the style of give and take, Mishnah, question, contradiction, answer to opinions, and this is how we follow. The Rambam says, let me tell you the bottom line. This is what you do. These are the rules. A, B, C, D. And if this is the situation, then you do this. And if this, this. And Rambam wrote his incredible work, the Mishnah Torah. Now the problem is the Rambam came under very severe criticism. I think they criticized the art scroll. It's nothing compared to the criticism that the Rambam suffered. Because the Rambam did not give the reason for the sources for his conclusions. So the Rif, he shows you where he's coming from. Here's the Mishnah, here's the Gemara, here's the Kasha, here is the difficulty, here is the answer. There are two answers, and there's a nafka mina la halacha. If you follow answer A, then this is going to be a nafka mina. If you follow answer B, I like answer B. Answer B makes sense because there's a flaw in answer A. He presents all of the source material. The Rambam didn't do that. The Rambam just says, I've already sifted through everything. This is the bottom line. Now, this is very interesting. The Rambam wrote a lot of letters. A lot of letters from the Rambam. And the letters, there are contradictions in his letters and who he spoke to, different Talmidim, and different times in his life. In some of the letters, the Rambam says, it's very controversial, there's no longer a need for the Talmud Bavli. Art scroll can go out of business. There's no need for art scroll. There's no need to study the Talmud. All you have to do is study my Mishnah Torah. Without the Kesef Mishnah, without the Ravid, soon not the Ravid. Doesn't want to know from the Ravid. Doesn't want to know about. He just studied that's what you do. Spend the whole day memorizing it and you'll know exactly what to do. Oh, what about, what's your source? You know, we always discuss this. What's your source, Rabbi? How do you know it? Trust me. Trust me. Exactly. Trust me. Now, for the times, that was a shocking thing. Well, the Rambam really was a trailblazer. He really shook up the world. We can't, because we live in a world where just everything already has been done and we live a whole day. It's hard for us to believe how the Rambam revolutionized what he did. This is the bottom line, and you follow it no matter what. Okay, so the Rambam came under very strong criticism. However, we have in other letters that the Rambam wrote, even to the same Talmidim, he never meant to say that don't study the Talmud, Chas v'Shalom. You should study his work together with the Talmud. You go to the Talmud, you'll find the source, and you'll see how he comes to the conclusions. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. So this is the Rambam. Now, after the Rambam came along another person called the Rush. Okay? The Rush seemingly was sensitive to the criticism. The Rush? No, I think the Rush was after. I think the Rush. The Rush was 1250 to 1330. Yeah. So the Rush was significantly after the Rambam. The Rush seemingly was. Wait, I'm going to make sure I'm saying it correctly.
The Rambam died when
1200, 1220. Yeah, he was 1250 to 1330. The Rush came along and he wrote. seemingly, when I glean, I'm not certain about anything, I'm just sort of really, a lot of this is new to me, is that the Rosh seemingly was very sensitive to the criticism that the Rambam suffered from. The Rambam suffered from that he just gave psak halacha without citing sources. So you know, in the back of the Gemara there is the Rosh. And the Rosh is not like the Gemara, doesn't appear like the Gemara, but it's similar in style to the Rif, where he presents the Mishnah and the Gemara, and he's mefalpa. He has definitely this much more originality. He doesn't quote the Gemara word for word like the Rif. The Rosh definitely.
But it gives a lot of background.
So what the Rosh did, it's a very interesting blend. Everyone is responding to your predecessors. It's a very beautiful build-up. There is the Mishnah and the Gemara. Then it came along, the most logical thing to do is, when you're a student, is let's just cut out all the give and take, what's the bottom line? But then the Rambam comes along, no, you don't need the give and take altogether, just tell me the bottom line. Bottom line. The Rosh was middle ground. The Rosh gives you the bottom line, but gives you more sources, gives you more discussion. Okay, so this was the Rosh. Now, the Rosh was a short sefer. Okay, after the Rosh comes along his son. The Rosh's son was Rabbeinu Yaakov. And what did the Rosh's son write? He wrote the Torah. Now, what is the Torah? The Torah is very similar to the Rambam. If you go through the Torah, the Torah is a beautiful thing to learn. The Torah is unbelievable. And it definitely has a similar taste to the Rambam, where he's pretty much presenting you bottom line. Not 100% like the Rambam, but he does give you a little bit more background than the Rambam presents. So bottom line, what we have here are four major works. These four major works basically are the source for all Torah, all halacha in our times. Four major works. At least in the process, in the halachic process of decision. And we can divide these four major books into two categories. The Rambam with the Torah, who are trying to present you with bottom line and cut out all of the source material, all of the give and take. And then we have on the other side the Rif and the Rosh, who are starting from the beginning. It says in the Mishnah the following. The Gemara says the following. There's a little bit of give and take. And then they go off on a little bit of a tangent and they tell you, how do we decide the halacha? What will be the bottom line? Two very different approaches to the study of halacha. To give you the bottom line, the Rambam and the Torah, or the Rif and the approach of the Rosh. Okay, so these... Yeah?
The Torah delves into Tahara and Kochim, like the Rambam?
No, the Torah only has... Right, the Rambam goes through everything. The Torah only goes through Dalta of the Shulchan Aruch, the Arbidat, the Fufar. So these are the basic Mahalchim in Mitna. Then it comes along. Now it comes something very interesting. Comes along the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef was Rav Yosef Karoy, and he lived much later on. He lived even later, I think, right? He lived in the... Okay, it's the 1500s, Rav Yosef Karo. He took the Torah, and he wrote, he used the Torah as his source, and he wrote what's called the Beis Yosef. Now, the Rav Yosef Karo also wrote the Kesef Mishnah. And the Yosef Karo, he writes, the fascinating insight, never knew this, he said that originally when he wanted to write his parish on halacha, he wanted to use as his source not the Torah, but the Rambam. Very interesting. He wanted to use the Rambam as his base, and to write, take Rambam says a halacha, he will write a commentary tracing the words of the Rambam all the way back from its most original source, to go look at the Mishnah, look at the Gemara, look at the way the Rishonim interpret the Mishnah, the Gemara, and elaborate from there and show you how the Rambam reached his source. And in fact, the Rambam at that time of his life, when he lived, was the most, the Rambam's Mishneh Torah was the most popular sefer of the time. So he says it would have been to his advantage. It would have been to his advantage. He would have sold more copies of his Perush of Beis Yosef if he would have used the Rambam as his source, as the starting point for his commentary. However, he felt that it's not going to be successful because the Torah, relative to the Rambam, gives you much more background. In other words, and the Rambam and the Torah are very similar. They both come and try to give you from the start the bottom line. And the only difference between the Torah and the Rambam is that the Torah gives you a little bit more background. He felt that foundation that the Torah gives was much, the advantage of working with that material that the Torah gives will be much greater advantage to his sefer to use it as a springboard to trace every single halacha of the Torah to a source in the Gemara. So this is what he, now here's what the Beis Yosef did, which is an incredible thing and is extremely controversial and has major ramifications ad hayom hazeh. Beis Yosef comes along, 1500s. People, we have to remember all of this because people are getting weaker and weaker. No one has the ability to completely master on their own the entire Torah. You have to have help. You have to have someone come along and spoon feed you the halacha step by step. He takes the halacha in the Torah. The Torah tells you, like the Rambam, this is the halacha. Bottom line. What's my source? Well, I'll tell you, I'll throw out a little hint. It's a Gemara over here somewhere. Okay, very good. Now, there's a variation of the halacha. There's a question, that's a very general statement, and there's a variation of that halacha. I mean, all very abstract, of course. What's the bottom line? How do we paskin in a certain given situation? So the Beis says, well, we have three major commentators. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. I'm going to look how the Rambam decided an issue, how the Rambam decided an issue, and how the Rush decided an issue. And I am going to follow the majority to reach a final conclusion. So if the Rambam, let's say you have a certain shiloh, a certain piece of meat, a certain situation, is it kosher? It's not really on a certain piece of meat, is it kosher or not kosher? Think about kashrut. Is it kosher or is it not kosher? I'm going to study the Rambam, how the Rambam came to his conclusion. The Rambam paskin on this exact situation, the meat is non-kosher. I'm going to look at the Rif. The Rif did the same thing. The Rif took the Gemara, and the Rif then went and took the Mishnah, took the Gemara, and it was Mefalpa, and the Rif came to a conclusion that the piece of meat is non-kosher. But the Rosh, when he did the same thing, because the Rosh lived not much long after, the Rosh took the Mishnah, took the Gemara, he went back and forth, and the Rosh concluded that the piece of meat is permitted. Wow, look at that. So what should we do? What should we, living in the 15th century, what should we do? Should we follow the opinion of the Rambam and the Rif, or should we follow the opinion of the Rosh? So you know what the answer is? We're going to follow the majority. There's nothing new that has to be understood. We're going to follow the majority opinion. Every single halacha in the commentary of the Beis Yosef, which is the commentary of the on the tour, his conclusion is scientific. Incredible. He was a scientist. I'm not going to be mechadesh anything new. I'm not going to try to extrapolate and try to understand how we should decide on our own. I'm just going to play a number game. I'm going to look at the three major compilers of halacha, the people who already decide the halacha for us, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. I'm going to follow the majority, and that's going to be the bottom line. And that's what he did, and he reached his conclusions pretty much in the Beis Yosef, and then he made cliff notes, what we call cliff notes, after he reached his long conclusion in the Beis Yosef, he wrote what we call the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch was written by the same person who wrote the Beis Yosef, and that is the bottom line. The Shulchan that we have today, the Shulchan Aruch, is basically like the Rambam. just like the Rambam went and he wrote the bottom line, just like the Torah wrote the bottom line, the Shulchan Aruch is the bottom line. And if you want to understand how I reached my bottom line, look at my parish in the, on the Torah. Look at the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef just takes the Torah's words and analyzes the source and is mefalpel through all the source material and comes to a conclusion, and the conclusion is nothing more than a scientific analysis of to the majority, and that will be the bottom line. Now, there are exceptions. What are the exceptions? Sometimes you have a halacha where one of the three major halachic authorities does not issue a ruling. So when there's no ruling by one of the three, you have a dispute between A and B. Let's say the Rambam paskins osur, and the Rosh paskins mutter, and the Rif, no comment, abstain. What do you do then? So then he said he felt he'll do what? Based upon custom, upon what was accepted, then it's not scientific. Then already the Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he already gave some of his own personal opinions on how halacha should be followed. When the Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't think much of it. He thought, this is just like, it's like cliff notes. It's like, you buy my Beis Yosef, you buy the Beis Yosef, so I'll throw in a bonus, an abridgment, just my bottom lines. So it was never, he never took it very seriously. It's an amazing thing. And he wrote it as a chazar. Originally it was meant to be studied, like Yav Daf Yomi, every 30 days. Just like you learn the Kisr Shulchan Aruch, it was divided into 30 sections. Every 30 days you should go through the entire Shulchan Aruch. That's just the big letters. Just the big letters, not the Ramah. That's the big letters. Now, this is the review we have so far before we come to a little bit more modern and things get shaken up. Take a step back, take a deep breath. All starts Mi Sinai. It's too hard to memorize. Mishnah. Mishnah is elaborated into the Gemara. The Gemara is very vague. Okay, there are many interpretations. You have a Rashi, a Tosfos, you have a Ran, you have all these many ways. One piece of the Gemara, you can understand it 50 different ways. And each way you understand the piece of the Gemara has an afkamin l'halacha, has many different ramifications of what the bottom line of the halacha is. So who comes along and first gives some guidance? Well, we have four different schools of thought, four different major halachic authorities, two different styles. The style of the Rambam and the Torah. Of course, they live in the Torah a little much later on, the Torah. And they wrote like in the style of bottom line. They went through all the source until they figured everything out and they came to a conclusion. And then we have the style of the Rif and the Rush, which really give you more background. The Rambam was criticized because he was an innovator. He was the first one that made use of this technique. Now, along comes 15th century, things are getting very, very difficult to understand everything and put everything in perspective. We need a bottom line. Along comes the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef wants to come to a conclusion because from these four different Sarim, it's not really clear how you decide. There's a lot of disagreement between the Rambam, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Torah. It's not clear. What is the bottom line? There is confusion, and there is disagreement. I'm going to write the bottom line. I'm going to write a very large sefer called the Beis Yosef, which is going, what am I going to use as my source, as my start, as the text? What's my text, my commentary? I have a very big dilemma. It's either going to be the Rambam or it's going to be the Torah. He chose the Torah because the Torah already gives you more background. The Torah already is richer than the Rambam. The Rambam is just says it as a matter of fact. He wanted a little bit more background, and therefore he selected the Torah. And he showed the source material and came to a bottom line. He was unique. He was the first one that came to a halakhic decision, looking at, based on what we have in the past, what is the bottom line? And how did he do this? Scientific method. There are three major players. We're going to follow the majority in most of these cases. Now that created an uproar, because scientific method may be good in the laboratory, may be good for a lot of things. And in fact, they used the scientific method we learned about the scientific method when it came to Nehemiah. Right? What did Nehemiah, what was that? That was the Rashi in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We have lists of the Yichus, chronology. And what do? So Rashi says, he had three books. Ezra had three books. Whatever the majority. And when there is no majority, I'll write them both. Right? So there's precedent for this type of approach, going back from the time of Ezra. But that was in regard to historical facts. tihichos. Here he's doing something which is very sensitive. He's telling you what to do. It's one thing to go read a nice history book and read about all these great people. It's another thing to tell you, you know, you have to wait 50 minutes after Shabbos is over. You have to wait, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. It's a very big difference when you want to use scientific method to tell you a story that doesn't have any effect on you, or you want to use scientific method which is going to cost you plenty of money and it's going to change your whole way of life. So, problem was, the Ashkenazim of Moshe Isserles did not take a liking, or the people that he represented were not very pleased with the outcome of what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Because although it was the majority opinion, it was not the custom among Ashkenazim. People living in Germany, France, they were not practicing these laws. And it was a shock to them. You're telling me this is the bottom line because the Ramban and the Rif tell you that this is the bottom line? You know, we're sorry, that's not the way we've been doing things. We've been following a minority opinion like the Rush. That's what we've been doing for the last 200 years. Or we've been following an opinion that's none of the above. Not the Rush, not the Rif, not the Rambam. If you look carefully, there are other Mefarshim, there are other ways of learning. There's a Ran, and we've been following the Ran, we've been following the Balei Tosfos. A lot of the Ashkenazic halacha comes from the Tosfosim, the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, which is not the Rambam, it's not the Rush, not the Rif. So the Ramah, he wrote his Hagos. First he wrote a Sefer called Darkei Moshe. Very popular, it's Darkei Moshe, which basically he takes the task a lot of the things that the Beis Yosef wrote, and later the Ramah wrote a Haggah, an addendum, a gloss to the Shulchan Aruch, which when you read the Shulchan Aruch in the little letters, the Rashi letters, Haggah, the Ramah says, this is the Minhag Ashkenaz. What the Ramah is really doing is, he is rejecting the scientific method. He is rejecting this incredible thing because this is not our custom. It's not what we've been doing. We've been doing it like this. It's not the majority opinion. It's tradition by Ashkenazim. Zehu. Okay, but it's a rejection of scientific method. It's a very powerful, powerful thing. Okay, now, then you go a little bit further. The problem with all of this is that was holding at this point is there was a very great de-emphasis on the Talmud. Even with the Ramah, and certainly with what the Beis Yosef did, certainly, the Gemara is not important anymore. You don't need the Gemara. The Gemara was for the ancient people. There was a Mishnah, there was a Gemara, but that's all been sifted through. It's nice to learn, it's academic, it's good for the mind, it's Talmud Torah, but as far as halacha, making an informed decision, and again, the reason why it's so important to know the halakhic technique is because every single day new questions that never existed come to be. Technology, science, every single day, even things that are not technology, there are new situations that come about. You need now to know what to do. And guess what? You can break your head, bang into a wall, you're not going to find it anywhere. And you have to now come and figure out what to do. So until this point in time, the basic theme approach was the Gemara is outdated. There's no more Gemara. Everything is already been, it's like a number game or it's a matter of tradition. We're just going to study what the Beis Yosef says, what the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, and now the Beis Yosef. And there was a de-emphasis on the Talmud. Along came the Gra, and really it's not only the Gra, it's really his ancestor, the Ber Hagoyla, and they made a very big machah. The biggest machah of the Gra was what's called, this concept, which is used in the Sefer quite often, Din of the Gemara. The Din of the Gemara. That when you make a halachic decision, it's not just like the Beis Yosef a number game, and it's not like only like the Ramah, which is, you follow also minority opinions. In the halachic decision, you have to go back all the way to the Talmud. The Gra was a revolutionist in bringing back Klal Yisrael in the world of halacha to the Talmud. The Be'uri HaGra, what is the Be'uri HaGra? Sorry, the Be'uri HaGra, he's taking every single thing that it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and he's showing you the source in the Gemara. He's taking you back to the early, he's not taking you back to what, how the Rosh, what the Rosh says, and what the Rif says, and what the Rambam says, and how they understand the Gemara. He's taking you back even early. He's bringing, like, Machzir Atara Liyoshna. And this method has really lasted with us ad hayom hazeh. Many of the modern, the poskim today there aren't too many poskim, but the real big poskim, like Moshe Feinstein and Chazon Nish and Rav Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in their writings, they have been very much influenced, they say themselves, by the Gra. That when you make a halachic decision, and again, we're dealing over here with Yechidim Shebedar, there's something called Dina de Gemara. It's not just enough to look at the four major sources. You have to go back from the very, very beginning and start all over again and work your way through to come to a conclusion. And obviously, I'm speaking in the most abstract terms possible, but there are examples of where you see all of these nuances of the Gemara. That's really that's what we want to do for today. Just review the Rosh Hashanah very quickly, the concepts, and we'll stop. Take 2 minutes to review the Prakim. Tarsha Baal Peh turns into Mishnah. Mishnah is elaborated by Gemara. Gemara doesn't tell you the bottom line. Well, who came along? Two different schools of thought: the Mahalach of the Rambam and the Mahalach of the Torah. On the other hand, we have sources that poskim that give you the reasons, the Rif and the Rosh. Along comes one of the most important people in the halacha. Along comes the Torah, and along comes the Beis Yosef. He uses as his text the Torah and traces everything back to its original source and comes to a conclusion. And his conclusion is based on scientific method, 2 against 1, and he puts these conclusions, the commentaries in the Beis Yosef. You have to Shulchan Chasam with the Beis Yosef, and he puts this conclusion in the Shulchan Aruch as the bottom line. The world was in shock. How can you tell me to do something based upon a scientific method? You have to take into consideration tradition. Not only tradition, you have to take into consideration minority opinions. And therefore, the Ramah, who represented Ashkenazic Jewry, disagreed with him on many occasions. The problem at this point in time was the emphasis on Dina de Gemara. Along comes the Gra, and the Gra shakes up the world and writes a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, showing you that the halacha, every single halacha, the bottom line, must be traced back to the Talmud Bavli itself. And that's his mark, has influenced all of those who have come after the Gra in deciding any new halacha, any new modern technical shaila which comes on the scene. What do? You don't just open up the Shulchan Aruch. You don't just open up the Rambam. You don't just open up the Beis Yosef. You have to go to the Gemara Mamish. The Gemara Mamish with Rashi and Tosfos and the Rishonim. And from there, that is part of the equation of deciding the bottom line. Yeah.
Doesn't it, it's like you're questioning the Rambam and the...
No, we're not dealing. We're dealing with issues.
They did that research.
We're dealing with new issues. We're not dealing with old issues. New issues. You have a new shail Hilcha Shabbos. You have the old sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Every single thing on Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa probably never happened before until the 20th century. A big thick sefer. Everything. What's going on today? So not everything is so simple. Not every little shail. Every things like, oh, it's an old shail, a big deal. No, it's not. It is a big deal. And you have to be able to go back to what's called Dina de Gemara, and the Gra is the one that really gets the credit for this influence. Okay.